them obstacles, but you come anyway, and we appreciate it, amen. I know the Lord takes note of it, and I know we ought to come, but also know we don't have to come. Nobody had to come tonight, we could have stayed home, and we might have paid for it, but we could have done it if that's what we wanted to do. The Bible says that we ought to try to assemble together and encourage one another in the Lord while we wait for the Lord to come. So it ought to be a place where we can come, kind of find a little encouragement to go on a little bit farther down the road. We may not have that much farther to go. We don't know. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. Anyone have a praise for the Lord this evening? Anyone have a praise for the Lord this evening? Anybody?
We'd always like to thank the Lord.
She beat you, Eddie. Sorry. You're fast on the draw.
I want to thank the Lord for saving me and for being here tonight.
Amen, Dad.
Amen, brother.
All right. Praise the Lord. I'd like to thank the Lord for saving my soul. I still stand amazed. Mm-hmm. In fact, God saved someone like me. Yep. I never forget the day I got baptized at Brotherhood Freewill Baptist Church. Mark Bunch come up to me and said, "I refuse to believe God saved someone like you." I said, "I agree with you." But he did. "If you want to hear my testimony," and I gave him my testimony. He said, "I believe it now." And I'm glad God saved a lot of sinners like me.
How long ago was that been?
25 years ago.
25 years.
I'll tell you what, buddy. It's still solid as well as that day.
Didn't believe it then. You ought to now.
Yeah.
All right. Anybody else want to testify? Yes.
I just want to thank the Lord for saving me and
Riley's
done for us.
Yeah. Past 52
years.
Yeah. Good
long
place.
That's
crazy.
Amen.
They've been married 52 years this last week.
Hallelujah.
All right. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
All right. Anybody else have a testimony tonight for the Lord? All right, Sister Marta's going to do a song for us tonight. It's a wonderful song, and it's true of every Christian tonight. If you were to go to the Lord and start trying to talk to him about some of your sins that you committed before you got saved, he wouldn't know what you're talking about. If you've been saved, he said he cast them behind his back, throwed them in the depths of the sea, to be remembered no more against you. He said in the book of Hebrews, "I will remember your sins no more." And so that's good. Amen.
Amen.
Everybody else may remember him, but he won't.
Right.
All right. Pray for him.
Yeah. Okay. I just want to thank the Lord for being here tonight. I almost stayed at home, and I knew I'd miss a blessing if I didn't.
Yeah.
But I'm like Brother David said last week. I get so nervous when I get up here because I just want to do this for the Lord. I just want to lift his name in praise. Because he's worthy to be praised.
Amen.
I want to thank him for saving me and my family. I want to thank him for heaven. And I love him tonight so much.
Heaven.
And I know he loves me. I'm really not sure why he loves me, but I know he does.
Heaven.
Y'all listen to the words to these songs. Mary. Jesus said, Martha, show me the grave. But she said, Lord, you don't understand. He's been there 4 days. The gravestone was rolled back.
Happened so long ago.
you're saved.
Yeah, right.
Or if you're not saved,
amen,
to know that that can happen.
That's right.
Amen. All right, let's turn tonight, if you would, in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 45 tonight. Genesis chapter 45. We're going to read the 15 verses there tonight. Look at Genesis chapter number 45. Genesis 45. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, "Cause every man to go out from me." And there stood no man with him, and while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren, he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "I am Joseph, if my father yet live." And his brothers could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "Come near to me, I pray you." And they came near. He said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a prosperity in the earth, and to save your lives by great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Haste ye and go up to my father, and say unto him, Thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me and tarry not. Thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children and thy children's children, and thy flocks and thy herds and all that thou hast. And there will I nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. And behold, your eyes see in the eyes of my brother Benjamin that it is my mouth that speaketh unto you. And ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt and of all that you have seen, and ye shall haste and bring down my father hither." And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. And moreover, he kissed all of his brethren and wept upon them. And after that, his brethren talked with him. Thank you. Be seated. Father, we come to you tonight in the name of Jesus. We thank you for, again, Lord, opportunity to gather, Lord, into the house of God. And Lord, we thank you for each one assembled here tonight. And Lord, as we come, Lord, tonight, approaching our subject, Lord, tonight, with reverence and fear, Lord, we come tonight and ask God to enable us and help us tonight to do a good job tonight for Jesus. And we pray you'll help us to make the Word of God clear, and we pray you'll help us to speak the truth, Lord, upon the subject tonight. And we pray that God would make the arrows sharp, and we pray you'd help us to shoot straight. And God, we pray we might be able to find help tonight at your hand, because I believe tonight it is the subject that, Lord, we all need help with tonight. And I think we can find help in the actions of Joseph if God will open up the Word of God and let us see it tonight. I pray tonight for those that have never been forgiven of their sin because they never asked. And I pray tonight God might speak to their heart and they might come and they might ask the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive them of their sins.
Yes, Lord.
And I know He'd do it if they'd ask Him. I know You'd do it, Lord. And then they could sing, "What sin are you talking about?" Now, Lord, cleanse me of my failures and faults and shortcomings of every day. And make me a ready vessel tonight you can use, Father, to be a blessing, I pray. And to touch my heart, help me, Lord, tonight, not just preach my head, but also from my heart. And we ask it all in the name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
We pick way up down the road in the life of the story of Joseph. And it starts in chapter I think about chapter 17 it starts, and 37 it is, and goes all the way down to the rest of the book of Genesis, and what a story it is. One of the greatest lives in the Bible. The life of Joseph. Arthur Pink says that he's like the Lord in 150 ways, that he's like the Lord, and it's easy to pick out a bunch of them when you start studying and looking at the life of Joseph. He has much to teach us about. But when we look at Joseph here and his life, and here we are in chapter 45, a lot has transpired from the time he was a 17-year-old boy in chapter 37 until here he is, a grown man. God has made him head over everything that there is there in Egypt, and second only to Pharaoh, and God has blessed him much. But he's had a hard way to get there. When you look at the life of Joseph, we find out that, boy, I mean, he's been through it. He's had it. He's been badly mistreated by his own family and by others as well. We find Joseph as a 17-year-old boy, and we find that his own brothers throw him in a pit.
Amen.
Was going to leave him for dead. At least they had a little mercy on him, and a band of slave traders come through, and they pawned him off as a slave. So here he was, his own brothers done him wrong. Amen.
Amen.
You probably had that happen to you, and I've had that happen to me, and I've probably been, maybe at some point in time, the one that did the wrong. But if anybody ever had it done wrong, Joseph did. All of his brothers did him wrong. And then we see that they pawned him off as a slave and sold him as a common slave. He went down everywhere he'd go, God would bless him because the Lord was with him. And he got down there, and Potiphar's wife, probably the most beautiful woman in all the kingdom, and she eyed him, she liked him, she began to lust after him. And we read there in that portion of the scripture there how that she cast her eyes toward him, and daily she kept on flirting with him and trying to get him to sleep with her and on and on. And finally, you know how that finally she grabbed him, and he just ran away and left his clothes in her hand, his shirt in her hand. And then the Bible said that she lied on him. She went down and she told him, Pharaoh and others that he had tried to rape her, and she lied on him, and so he wound up in prison. He got down there in prison by a lie, been done wrong. His brothers followed him now. His brothers stole him in a pit, sold him as a slave. Got down there and Pharaoh's wife lied on him, told him just a flat out lie that sent him to prison. There's a lot of people in prison tonight because they've been lied on.
Yeah, right.
You'd be surprised how many people might be in prison tonight that have been lied on.
Amen.
But he was down there in prison and he'd been lied on, done wrong. He got down there in prison. There's a baker and a butler that was put there in prison with him, and they both had dreams. And we read how that Joseph interpreted the dream. The only thing he asked, he said, when you get out of here, said, remember me. But when they got out, they didn't remember him. One of them didn't, the other one died, but he didn't remember him. He done him wrong. Man, this guy's done wrong. Every time he turns around, somebody is doing him wrong. But in all of the wrongdoing that has been done, he does not let it get him down. He does not become bitter in his heart. He does not let him turn away from God. He does not let him get him out of the will of God. And in all of this, Joseph tonight, he's going to teach us three truths tonight about forgiveness. Now, I want to say tonight that forgiveness tonight is something that probably affects everybody in this room tonight. The situations may not all be the same. It could be a wife tonight that has been spurned by her husband, and divorce has taken place, and there's been years and years of unforgiveness. Tonight, it could be a man tonight or a woman tonight that at one time was a child,
And as a child, they were in some way mistreated, maybe by their own father, maybe by their own mother. But somehow they have been mistreated and locked up down in the depths of their soul tonight is a thing that has troubled them and bothered them all down through these years. I think Joseph can help us with that tonight. There's three truths tonight that Joseph tells us tonight, and I want you to follow along with me tonight now in the Word of God. And I want us to look at some things tonight that Joseph tells us about forgetting. Now, the first thing, or forgiving, the first thing I want to say tonight is that a lot of people tonight, if you ask them, they might say something like this. I've often heard people say this. Well, you didn't forgive him because you didn't forget him. You ever heard anybody say that? You didn't forgive him because you didn't forget him. Can I tell you tonight that Joseph is going to show us tonight, Brother Paul, that tonight that forgiveness is not always a forgetting.
Right. Amen.
I want you to understand tonight that forgiveness is possible, but forgetting is a God quality tonight.
Right. Amen.
We talk about God casting our sins in the sea of forgetfulness to remember them no more against us. You and me tonight, we've been forgiven tonight by God, and we have been, the sins have been forgotten by God. But I want you to understand tonight that being human beings, we have the capacity to forgive, but we don't always have the capacity to forgive. And Joseph will show us that tonight. Not only him, we'll use several of the saints of God to prove that that is a possibility, that you can forgive and yet not forget. I want to tell you that some folks have been hurt so deeply down within their spirit. They don't realize it, but they have forgiven, but they think because they can't forget that they haven't forgiven. Not so. I want you to know, you say, well, somebody did me wrong and I forgot it and I forgave it. Well, maybe, you know, some little light thing, some little thing that didn't amount to much, you might have done such. But if you've ever been done wrong badly, if you've ever been done wrong deeply tonight, you may have truly forgiven, but you can't really say, I forgot it. Because even though you forgave that person, that act is still there. And I'll tell you, it's going to always be there until you get that brand new body that then will have complete total salvation. And not only will we be able to forgive in whole, but we'll be able to forget in whole. Amen. Now, I want you to look tonight over in 1 Samuel chapter 16, if you will. There in the Bible, in 2 Samuel chapter 16. And I've been preaching on this some here lately, not too long ago, so the story will be fresh to those of you that are regular attenders in the house of God. But you remember how when David was exiled from being a king by Absalom, and the Bible says that David came and he's on his way out now. And he says he came by the house of a man named Shimei. You remember how that Shimei, that as David went forth, that Shimei, he fought along beside him and he cast stones at him. And he said something like this, come out, come out, thou bloody man, he said. He went on down to Vishai. He wanted, he said, let me take his head off. He's got no right to do you wrong like that. He's got no right to talk to you like that. And the Bible said, David said, verse 11, he said, behold, my son, which came forth out of my bowels, seeketh my life. How much more now may this Benjamite do it? Let him alone and let him curse, for the Lord had bidden him. And as David and his men went by the way, Shimei went along on the hillside over against him, and he cursed as he went, and he threw stones at him and cast dust. And the king and all the people that were with him came weary and refreshed themselves there. We get over to chapter 19 of 2 Samuel. The king's on the way back now. Things have changed. We read where that Shimei comes. And he gets down before David, and he's got every right to kill him. But David says, we're not going to kill him today. We're not going to have any death here today. And so David forgives him. David let it go long. But in the book of 1 Kings, chapter 3, the Bible says there that David now is leaving the throne. Solomon's going to take his place. And to me, it's very clear that David has told him about Shimei. He's told him what Shimei did. So when Solomon becomes king, he says, all right, Shimei, he says, you must live within these boundaries. I let you live in these boundaries. My father David, he let you live. No doubt he forgave you. But he said, I want you to know something. He said, we forgive you, but we've not forgotten it.
Right, yeah.
And he said, if you cross this line, he says, and he did, he said, you will die. Amen. Let me show you another one a little greater. Over in the 2 Timothy there, the greatest Christian that ever lived. His name is one of the greatest Christians that ever lived. And his name is the Apostle Paul. You've heard of him, remember him as Saul. I believe if there's ever a Christian that was able to forgive, I believe if there's ever a Christian that wanted to forgive, I believe it would have been Paul. Because Paul knew how much God had forgiven him. We read there in 2 Timothy chapter 4. We read there that Paul now in the Mamertine prison. And he probably knows that this could well be the end for him. Paul is sent back and he's asked Luke, or he's asked Timothy to come, and Luke's with him. And he says, when you come, bring the cloak. In verse 13, I left at Troas with Carpus, which thou comest, bring with thee in the books, but especially the parchments. Now watch verse 14. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil, and the Lord reward him according to his works, of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. I believe here was a man that no doubt Paul had forgiven this man for what he did. But he's not forgot it, Brother Eddie. And he still tells others, you watch this man. You watch him real close. But I believe that Paul, with all my heart, I believe that Paul has forgiven this man. But it's evident to me that he's not forgot what he done to him. Amen. I want you to understand tonight that it is it is possible and highly probable that tonight if you forgave somebody of a great wrong that they have done you, you have truly forgiven them, but yet down deep inside you have not forgot it yet. Amen. You say why? Because you're a human being. You're not a God. You don't have divine qualities yet. You have some, but you don't have all of God's divine attributes tonight. Amen.
Amen.
I mean, there's some people that's went through a lot of stuff.
Bless the
Lord. And they've forgiven them. But boy, they never forget what they've gone through.
Yes.
Amen. Probably some kids tonight had some terrible things happen to them in their childhood. They got saved and know the Lord now, and they don't have any awe against those persons, but they'll never forget what those persons did.
Right.
Bless the Lord.
Amen. You say, why? Because we're humans. And when we get hurt real bad, even though that God may enable us to forgive them, we don't forget the act that they did.
Amen.
You see here, Joseph, even Joseph here in chapter 5, now Joseph is clearly forgiven all of his brothers, and we'll see that as we go farther into this story tonight. Joseph has clearly forgiven all of his brothers, but look what he says in verse 4. Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And when they came near, he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. In other words, I believe he's already forgiven them, don't you, Brother Stacy? But yet he still remembers what they've done. He said, you don't have any ought against them, but he says, you sold me into Egypt. He says in verse 5, now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourself that you sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. He's got a view on this thing. He knows that they sold him into Egypt. But one of the reasons he's able to forgive, even though he's not able to forget what they've done yet, is because he realizes God has a part in his life. That for the child of God, everything that happens to a child of God, I believe that God has his hand in it in some way or another. Amen. Joseph said, you meant it to me for evil, but God meant it to me for good. Amen.
Amen.
So what I'm saying is, number one, Joseph teaches us that you can forgive, but you might not be able to forget. Not yet. But you will. Now, let me say this before I leave that point, that Jesus saves sinners.
Amen. Amen.
You say, how do you know he saves sinners? Well, the Bible said he come to seek and save that which was lost.
Amen.
And I have seen Jesus save some sinners.
Amen.
And not only have I been an eyewitness of Jesus saving some sinners, but he saved me.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. He saved me.
Amen.
And when he saved me, he forgave me of all my sins.
Amen.
Now he's God. Don't you believe tonight Jesus Christ is God?
Yeah.
If you don't tonight, you're in error.
Yes.
You don't tonight, you're in the wrong place. You need to be down at the kingdom hall. But we believe that Jesus is God. He had all the attributes of God and all of that. And we believe that Jesus Christ was God manifest in the flesh. Brother Nathan, because he is God, the Bible said, he said in Hebrews 10 verse 16, this is the covenant that I'm awake with them after those days, saith the Lord. I put my laws into their heart and in their minds, and I will write to them. I like this. You ought to circle it in your Bible. Hebrews 10 verse 17. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. That's what Sister Marla sung to us tonight.
Yeah.
What sins are you talking about?
Yeah.
I'm glad I'm not saved by a man. I'm glad I'm not saved by a pope or a preacher or a potentate. You say, well, they would never forget my sins. I'm glad I'm saved by God Almighty.
That's
the Son of God. I'm glad he cast me in the sea. I'm forgetfulness to remember him no more against us. And I say, three cheers for Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Yes, amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Well, there's some folks out in Ireland, if you looked them up tonight, they remember some of my sins. Some of my neighbors in years past, if you could talk to them, they'd probably remember some of my sins.
Amen.
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 Go ahead and talk to my neighbor.
Right.
And go ahead and look up the co-workers if you want to. But go talk to Jesus about it.
Amen.
Jesus is going to say, what sin are you talking about?
Yeah. Right.
Amen.
He don't have any sin.
Yeah.
He's as pure as a driven stone. His slate is clean. Amen. He's like me. When God sees him, when God looks at him, when I look at him, it's just like looking at me. Because he's clean and perfect in Jesus Christ. I tell you, that's the good thing about being saved and being a child of God, is that tonight God sees us. When he sees me, he sees the blood of the Lamb. When he sees me, not as I am, but not worthy, not as I am, thank God. I'm glad tonight that forgiveness with men is not always forgetting, but it is always forgetting with God.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, sir.
Good Hallelujah.
Amen. Number two. Joseph is clearly forgiven these people. But search all the way from chapter 37 all the way to chapter 45. You won't find any place where they're lasting to.
Yeah, you're right.
They sent no letters ahead saying, Joseph, please forgive us. There's no word that's came from any place to bring a message to Joseph and say, Joseph, please forgive us. We've sinned. We've done you wrong. We shouldn't have done that. I've heard this said. I've heard people say, we say, well, have you forgiven them? Well, no, I've never forgiven them because they hadn't asked me yet.
Let me tell you something. Forgiveness does not always require an apology.
Yes.
Amen.
Right.
Yeah, that's
right.
Quiet in here tonight. Listen, I've heard people say, no, I've not forgiven that person and I'm not going to forgive that person because they haven't asked me to forgive them. All right, let's look here. You say it's not possible to forgive somebody that doesn't ask you. I think it is.
Amen.
If you look over at Luke chapter 23. Jesus has died on the cross.
Yeah.
And he's heard dying on the cross between two wicked thieves. He's dying, and one of the first things he says is he looks down and he sees the people that have crucified him, that have spit upon him, that have slapped him, that have plucked out his beard, that have pressed the crown of thorns down upon his head. The people that have stripped him of his garment. They lifted him up to heavenward, let the cross down with a thud. And one of the first things Jesus said in verse 34, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Thank you, Lord.
Now let me ask you something. Do you think Jesus ever prayed a prayer that God didn't answer? Jesus said, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do.
Amen. Right.
There is a man forgiving people of the worst crime that's ever been done. Anybody in this room, anybody in Glasgow, anybody in Barron County, anybody in the state of Kentucky, anybody in the other states, there's a man that's been done wrong, and he's forgiven them. They haven't asked him to, but he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen.
You say, well, Brother Rick, I read some books on that, and I don't really believe that's what it means. Well, I'm reading a book on it too, and I just happen to believe it means what it says.
Amen.
Amen. I believe when Jesus said, Father, forgive them, they don't know what to do. I think that His Father forgave them.
Yes.
Not on their merits, but on His.
Yes. Right.
But listen now, I want you to get this now. It's important you get this, because this can really mess you up if you get it the wrong way. When Jesus said, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. This had to do with ignorance. He said, and he wouldn't lie about it, he said, Father, they don't know what they're doing.
Amen.
He said, forgive them. Have you ever had anybody to wrong you out of ignorance?
Yeah.
I mean, they wasn't really vicious towards you. They wasn't really just trying to do you wrong, but they were just kind of ignorant in a way, and ignorant of some things, and it wound up causing you some problems. Well, that's kind of what Jesus is saying. He's saying, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Amen.
Amen.
It has to do with ignorance. You say, yeah, but He's God. You know, we expect that of God, but we don't expect that of human beings. Look over in Acts. Acts chapter 7. There's a great preacher there named Stephen. He's the first martyr mentioned here. And he's been doing some preaching, real good preaching. And he's got people upset. And verse 54 said, when they heard it, these things, they were cut to the heart. They gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfast unto heaven and saw the glory of God, Jesus, standing on the right hand of God. And he said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. And then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him with a witness, laid down their clothes at a young man's feet named Saul. And they stoned Stephen and called upon God. And saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he knelt down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. When he had said this, he fell asleep. Do you see in there where anybody asked him to forgive him? You see in there where anybody said, hey, Stephen, I throw that stone. I shouldn't have done it. I want you to forgive me. Please forgive me. They're not ignorant. They know what they're doing. They know what they're doing. And yet Stephen, he's about to die. He's clearly forgiven these people for killing him. I mean, he's clearly casting a word of forgiveness there, and he's saying, Father, lay not this sin to their charge. You say, well, he's forgiven them. What's this got to do with? Well, this has to do with, and don't miss this. See, people say, well, if I forgive them, without them asking me, if I forgive them, then they'll think I'm condoning what they do. It has nothing to do with Stephen condoning what they're doing. It has something to do with Stephen confirming to who he sees.
Amen.
See, Stephen looks up there and he sees Jesus. He's dying and he sees Jesus. Can I tell you that a whole lot of people will get right with God real quick?
Bless him.
If they think they're dying. Things become so easy to forgive, to put behind you when you're dying. Why do you think when them Catholics die, they say, get that priest in you. I want my last rites. I want to make everything wrong, a right that's wrong. Amen. The Bible said Stephen, they stoned him, and he looks up and he sees Jesus. Now, when I think about Jesus, Stephen's dying, Jesus has just died, been crucified. And Stephen no doubt knows what the Lord did when they was killing him. The Lord said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Well, Stephen didn't say they don't know what they're doing, but he did say in so many words, Father, forgive them. You say, what? He wanted to be like Jesus.
Yep. Right.
He wanted to be like Jesus, and Brother Eddie, he wanted abundant entrance into the kingdom.
Amen.
I believe he got one. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Now, he didn't live long. He died. Suppose he did live like Paul. They stoned Paul, left him outside the city for dead, and Paul got up, went on in, and preached.
Amen.
But suppose Stephen did that. Suppose he lived. Even though he forgave those folks, you think he'd ever forget that? You think he'd ever forget them stones that hit his body and hurt him and everything, even though he forgave these people? No, he couldn't forget that unless he got that dreadful disease, Alzheimer's or something like that. He'd never forget that. No, he couldn't. But he said, I see Jesus. And of course, Stephen, not being even close to the Lord, when Jesus was on the cross and they put him on the cross, the first thing that Jesus says is, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. He's thinking of them first. And not himself. But we all come short of the glory of God. So even though Stephen does a good thing, first of all, Stephen says, Lord, receive my spirit. He puts himself first, and then he says, lay not this sin to their charge. You say, why? Because we're human. We're not God. He's God. We're human. And even the holiest of the holy. Brother, I believe that's one of the holies there,
yeah.
Stephen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
But folks, as long as we're in this fleshly body, we're never going to attain to perfection.
Amen.
We should strive after, try to live better, try to do better. But the one thing that we have to remember is we're all sinners.
Amen.
We all are still in this fleshly body. We all show human traits. A lot of times more than divine traits. Amen.
Amen.
And so here he is there, Stephen. Let me say this tonight. I don't want you to get mixed up now. It's very important you get what I'm about to say right now. Look over in Luke 23. Jesus is on the cross there where we were. Just a little bit down from that. They spent two thieves there on each side of him all the way through this. Just hold Luke 23 there. And I'm reading now in Matthew 27. Matthew 27, the Bible says in verse 38, then were there two thieves crucified with him. One on the right hand, the other on the left. And they passed by and reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise, also the priests mocking him and the scribes and elders said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him come down now from the cross and we'll believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. Look at verse 44. The thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth. In other words, both of these thieves were both saying that, let God deliver him if he'll have him. Both of these thieves were saying, he saved others, let him save himself. Both these thieves were saying this. But now look down at verse 39 of Luke 23. And one of the malefactors, now there's one talking, one of the malefactors which hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other actually rebuked him, saying, do us not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation. We indeed justly, for ye receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Now, nowhere in that scripture did that thief ask the Lord to forgive him.
Right.
It's not in there.
Right.
Nowhere in there did he say, he didn't say the sinner's prayer, God, I'm a sinner, be merciful unto me. He didn't say it in so many words. But his actions said it. There was a change clearly shown. He brought forth fruits for repentance. You say, what do you mean? Well, he's talking one way at the start of the day, and now at the end of the day, he's talking another way. At the end of the day, he says, this man hadn't done anything. He don't deserve to die. This is going to help some of you right here, because the devil's tormented you with it sometimes, wondering if you said the right little formula, if you said the right little words, well, you got saved. It's not so important what you say.
That's right.
It's what you show in your heart, what you show in your actions.
Amen.
Amen. I'm glad God's not like some preachers.
Amen.
Yep.
Some preachers would make you get every word just right and be at the right place and do it just right.
Amen.
But God wants sinners saved.
Yeah.
God's just looking for a. You don't have to get the words right, Steve.
Right.
Bless the Lord.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. I don't have to get all my words right. Amen.
Amen.
God looks down and God sees fruits of repentance. God sees somebody that was back there that wouldn't move, that wouldn't come up. And God sees them coming down the aisle and getting in the altar. And they may not say a word, but God sees the change. God sees the change of their spirit. The humility shown God. And God will save them. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
Here's what I want you to get tonight. I'm talking about forgiveness. It is possible to forgive somebody and them not ask you on your side. It's not impossible. It's not possible to get saved and not ask God to forgive you. You say, well, the Lord said there, you just preached to us, that the Lord said there, Father, forgive them. They know not what they're doing. They didn't ask. True. But Acts 17 said there was a time of ignorance. God winked at.
Yes,
that's right.
Now,
but now He commands every man to repent.
Amen.
And now, there may be somebody out there that's forgive you for something you've done, even though they can't forget it. They forgive you for what they've done. And you've got that forgiveness, even though you didn't ask for it. But I want you to get this, that you'll never be saved. You'll never be saved. Without asking for it.
Amen.
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 That's right.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
There was a time of ignorance. God winked at that, but no more. God hung his son on the cross. The gospels went around the world probably 2 or 3 times. And there's no reason now for people not to be saved and ask the Lord to save them. Luke 23:39-43, we've seen that. 1 John 1:7, verse 9 goes through that. Romans 10:9 talks about confessing with our mouth. And so when it comes to salvation, if you're here tonight lost without God, and you want to be saved, don't you go through life and die someday and think God's going to forgive you when you hadn't asked Him.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That won't happen.
Yes. Amen.
You preach. You have to ask the Lord.
That's right.
But now, one more thing, we're done tonight. The first thing that I believe that Joseph sees us tonight, shows us tonight, is forgiveness is not forgetting. Not yet. Not yet. One day it will. And I'm not saying that you've got, of course you don't have aught for the person. You don't want to do harm to the person. But I'm saying the initial act of whatever it was that was done wrong as a child, as a divorcee or whatever it might be, you can't forget the act, the wrong that was done, not yet. But you don't have aught against the person. But here we see forgiveness does not require an apology. Joseph's brothers never, ever said, please forgive us. He did it anyway. You say, why? Because he wants to make sure his heart's right. His brothers are way down somewhere else. And he's been over here all these years. And he wants to make sure his heart's right with God. You can't make the other person's heart right with God. But you can make your heart right with God.
Amen.
Now the last thing here I want to see that Joseph shows us here is that forgiveness does affect fellowship. It's been a long time since Joseph and his brothers have had any fellowship. Amen. You see, that's what the Bible tells us over in 2 Corinthians. Paul's talking to the church there. Man, they've got some real problems there. They got a man in the church that's sleeping with his own mother. Most commentators think it's a stepmother or something, but it's a bad situation. It's wrote about in 1 Corinthians 1, and then Paul, he gives his advice, and then he writes again in the second letter, and it seems the man has repented and tried to make amends and do right. And Paul's writing them in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 10. And Paul said, to whom you forgave anything, I forgive also. He said, for if I forgive anything to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ. In other words, he says, I'm doing this not for you, but I'm doing it for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And then he says, and the reason I want to do it is because he said, if y'all harbor that unforgiveness in the church, he said, if you let that happen, he said, Satan will get an advantage of us because we're not ignorant of his devices. See, the devil's at work. He gives you something to work with. Not like you don't have something to work with. He's always looking for something else to work with.
Amen.
But they come back, and now we're back to the beginning here of our story. Joseph, he couldn't refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried and caused every man to go out from him. Now you say, why did he make everybody leave? Because this thing wasn't between him and everybody else. A lot of times people, I hear preachers trying to get folks to come down in front of the church and make something right for the church that had nothing to do with the church. Amen.
Amen.
That's a good way to get a mess started in the church is what that's
right.
Good for.
Right. Yeah.
He makes all these people go out while they had nothing to do with it. They all go out except his brothers there. Look, he says, and there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren, and he wept aloud. And the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh, they heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I'm Joseph, do my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled. His presence. See, they don't know yet that Joseph's forgiven. They're troubled. That's what unforgiveness does. Makes that trouble there, that little odd feeling, that little thing that you hate, and you got stuff like that going on. They were troubled at his presence. But I want you to look here in verse number 15. Joseph, of course, goes through all the story there at the beginning, and he tells them how that you've done this for me, but God's worked some good out of it. It's really turned out for good. And it always does when you seek God. God always betters it some way or another. God makes it better, makes you better going through it. We see here that after he explains all that, down in verse 14, said he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck. He's the youngest one, and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. But what's this? Over he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them. And after that, his brother talked to him. Say, what are they doing? Oh, they're just all hugging each other. They're just all loving each other. Everything Joseph says, I forgive you. There's no wrong there. He hugs him and he's kissing him. And thinking tonight, Brother Gordon, several years ago, many years ago, I preached 20 years. My dad never heard me preach. Dad quit drinking a long time before he come to hear me preach. But his girlfriend at that time, she come over one day and she said, your dad quit drinking there, Brother Rick. I said, yeah, I know that. She said, you know why he quit drinking? I said, well, I guess he just had enough of it and wanted to quit. She said, no. She said, he heard God called you to preach. He said, God's called Ricky to preach, so you don't need no drunk daddy running around here.
Amen.
He quit drinking. But it was 20 years before he ever heard me preach. One Sunday night, I got home after service like this, laid down, about midnight, my phone rung. I got up, got the phone. It's a nurse out at the intensive care. She knew me. Said, Brother Prophet, said, we got your dad out here, and you need to come. I said, he's asked you to come. I said, I'll be right there. Once I could get there, I got there. And I met him there at the door. The nurses met me, and they said, I said, how is he? And they said, well, if he was, said, he's better. Said, if his heart was still doing like it was doing when he drove himself over here from Tompkinsville, he may not have made it. And I went in and round the curtain there, and the dad looked up and kind of smiled. He said, I thought I might get you to pray for me. I said, yes. And I said, Daddy, before we pray, I said, I need to know something. I said, is everything all right, you and God? He said, yeah, you've heard it. Many of you heard him say this in here in his testimony. But he said, son, I ain't always done right. And he said, everything good ever had, he said, I lost it. But he said, I never did lose that. Amen.
That's right.
He said, that's one thing you can't lose.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Of course, him and my mother separated when I was a senior in high school. You know how that stuff goes. He went to Louisville, had open heart surgery. And me and my sister and some of us went up. And that night, we went into his room there. And the doctor had come in and told how the procedure would go. Of course, it's been many years ago. And we went in there, and after he left, my dad, he apologized to all his kids.
Yeah.
He said, I'm sorry you had an old drunk daddy.
I said, Lord, bless you.
I'm sorry. He said, what happened? It's kind of like here in this verse.
Yeah, right.
We fell on each other's necks.
Yeah.
Amen.
We kissed each other, forgave each other. And all that is good. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
You see, forgiveness affects our fellowship.
Amen.
We're troubled when we think it's not there. But then when we see genuine, real forgiveness, it's so much like Jesus Christ, it's so much like God, that it touches us.
Amen.
I mean, how can anybody not be touched to read Luke 23?
Yep.
look at that man, know the life that man lived, know he never hurt nobody.
Yeah.
And then get treated that way and see that man hanging on the cross, bloody, beaten. How can anybody look at him and look at that and not be touched?
Right.
I don't know. Amen. Amen. But then notice this in Genesis 45:20, or really in verse 28 of that same chapter, my text chapter, it said Israel, they went back and they told him, they said, Daddy, said, Joseph's still alive. And Israel said, it's enough. He said, Joseph, my son is yet alive, and I'll go see him before I die.
Amen.
He said, what's going to happen? Well, there's been forgiveness that's come. And now there's fellowship with the brothers. And he's about to be fellowship with Joseph and his father again. Amen.
Amen.
And the Bible said in verse 46, verse 29 of chapter 46, it said, and Joseph made ready his chariot and went up to meet Israel, his father, the Goshen, and presented himself unto him. And he fell on his neck and wept on his neck for a good while.
Amen.
You say, what's that? That's a blessing.
Amen.
That's what it feels like when everything finally gets right. That's what it feels like when it's when there's nothing between.
Amen.
Right.
Amen. God, my Savior. Nothing between. What Joseph tells us about forgiveness, it might come in handy to you.
Amen.
Somewhere down the road, God told me to tell it to you now. Amen. Let's stand, if you would, please. I want the piano player to come, somebody to come tonight. If you're here tonight lost without Jesus Christ, I don't care what you've done, what's in your past, He'll forgive it tonight. And He'll forget it tonight if you'll ask Him to. He'll save you tonight somewhere right along with these altars. If you come down and get on the altar, say, God, I want to be saved. I want to be saved. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I wonder tonight if there's somebody here tonight real quick that say, Brother Rick, I'm lost tonight. I sure appreciate that message on forgiveness. What salvation is, being forgiven of our sins by a holy, righteous God. It's one thing for us, for one sinner to forgive another sinner. But we're talking about a holy God forgiving sinners. You're here tonight lost without the Lord. I wonder if you lift your hand tonight and say, pray for me. I'm not saying, preacher, I need that forgiveness that Jesus can give alone. That forgetfulness of Jesus alone can give. I need that tonight. Is there one tonight with their hand? Say, pray for me, Brother Rick. And Greg stopped a fellow the other day. He said, I don't like going to the churches where they drag you down to the altar. Greg said, well, we don't do that around our church. And I tell people the same thing Greg tells and told me. I usually say, we don't normally do that around our church. If God told me to, I'd come back and get you. But down deep inside, I believe God can't get you up here probably once you speak up right now. But sometimes just a little hug, a little nudge, just to say, I'll pray for you. Sometimes it's all, sometimes sinners need it. Maybe not. You need that tonight. Oh, you need to come tonight.
Help
you. You need someone to come with you tonight. Kneel at the altar and pray. I'll certainly pray with you. I'm sure there's others that will. But if you come tonight, God would like to save you. God would like to forgive you of all the sin you've ever committed in your life. God would like to forgive you for it tonight. Jesus' sake.
You
pray, Christians, tonight. You pray. While you're praying, just take a minute to think about all Jesus Christ has forgiven you of. Dwell on that a minute. Just kind of glance back through the years. See every place you kneel, you ask God to forgive you. Would it be faithful just to do it? That's what He says in His Word, forgiving one another. It's God, for Christ's sake, forgiving you. Somebody needs to come tonight.
Yes, Lord.
Somebody's lost here tonight. They need to come. They need to get saved. God's put it on your heart tonight. You need to come. Let Him wipe the slate clean. Let Him wash you in the blood of Jesus Christ. Let Him save you tonight. You do it. You raise your hand tonight and say, "Preacher, pray for me. I know God's dealing with you. Pray for me. I know God's dealing with you." Is there one tonight? Lift their hand and say, "Pray for me tonight. God's dealing with you." Wonderful thing to have God to deal with. Because you can't get saved unless God's dealing with you. It's wonderful God's dealing with you. He loves you. He wants you to be saved. Will you come tonight?
Help me.
Will you receive His forgiveness tonight? He's offering tonight.
Help
me. Oh, please help him come tonight. I know the old devil, he's here. And if he's not here, he's got to send his helpers here.
Help,
they don't want people to come. Lord, you do. You deserve us to do it, really, because of what you've done for us. Lord, I don't know how many here might be lost.
Help them.
But I pray that everyone that is here lost knows it.
Yes.
And I pray they're troubled about it and they're going to do something about it tonight. Please help them come tonight, Lord. Help all of us, Lord. I need help, Lord, with forgiveness. I need help, Lord, with these things. It's easy, Lord, for you to do. But sometimes it comes pretty hard for us sinners down here. I need you to help me, Lord. Help us tonight, Lord, I pray.
Help us tonight.
Help us, Lord, be more like you. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen and amen. We're going to sing, and I wish you'd come. I really do. I wish if you're lost, I'd come down the altar tonight. Peter said, Lord, how many times are we supposed to forgive? Seven times? He said, John said, this time seven. In other words, over and over and over and over and over again. They'll let you out if you want to come up here. They'll let you get out. God's here tonight. Let's take advantage of it. Let God do His work. Welcome to tonight. You come, you need to come tonight. All right, we're going to pray. Father, I thank you tonight for the blessed Holy Spirit tonight.
Yes, Lord. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord, for these things. Lord, I believe the Word of God has proved that they're true. I may have not said everything just right. May not all come out just right. But Lord, I believe the thought's right. I believe the Word of God will bear it out. Lord, we come this way tonight, Lord, as unworthy sinners and worthy of nothing but hell. But because of the marvelous grace of God and the forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ, we kneel here tonight, Lord, as saved sinners, just as clear as the driven snow. Lord, all our sins washed away, justified, just as if we'd never sinned. Thank you, Lord. I do continue to pray tonight, Lord, for lost sinners, their hearts as black as a piece of coal. If they come tonight, ask you, Lord. If they come tonight and kneel tonight, Lord, you can make their heart as black as coal, as white as the snow that was on the ground yesterday morning, Lord. And I pray you would. Help us tonight as Christians, Lord. We need your help so bad. Lord, just help us, Lord. We need it so much. Help us here at the church, Lord, to obey your word, do what you tell us to do, love one another, forgive one another, care for one another. All these things, Lord, we're to do as brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, help us to do it tonight. We're in the family of God, and our Father would bleach with us if we do it any other way. Help us tonight, I pray. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Let's stand tonight, if you would, please. We're going to change the song. Tonight we're going to sing Amazing Grace.
To all three.
Amazing Grace. Thank you.
God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God.
And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown, yes, we shall wear a crown, yes, we shall wear a crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. Stuff like this makes me remember how much God He is.
Yeah. Yeah.
How much man I am.
Yeah.
Right. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hey.
Amen. Lord, on anyone's heart tonight, do they go?
Well, Rick, I just like to say tonight, I didn't want to forgive nobody. I got saved. I remember going all over Glasgow. I remember going to a woman down at Lessonbury Building Supply. And I went in there and said, I want to apologize. I gave you a cussing in there one day. And I'm sorry. I got saved since then. And I remember going over Park Avenue Furniture over there. There was a preacher in there. And I'd rent a VHS movie. And I was bragging about how drunk I was going to get when I got home. And I done it on purpose, just mean. And I remember the tears in his eyes. Boy, I just couldn't wait to get over there. I said, I'm sorry. I said, I got saved since then, and boy, we hugged one another's neck. And I appreciate the message tonight. I had that old devil in me, and I harbored hate in my heart. Boy, I got Jesus in there, boy, and it's just all gone. I just love everybody. I feel like I've been to church tonight. Hallelujah.
Thank you, brother. Somebody else tonight? Word of testimony for the Lord. Yes, Stacy.
I just wanted to say thank you for the message you got put on your heart.
Amen. Heart. Bless you, Stacy. Amen.
Hey,
somebody else. Word for the Lord. Somebody else.
I just want to thank the Lord for being here tonight, Brother Rick. I want to thank you for the message. I just want to thank you for this church. It's always stayed the truth that's in it. And,
yeah.
And you just make God real. I mean, yeah. He's real. And I just thank the Lord for being saved and for saving my family.
Amen. God bless you, Sister Mark.
Hallelujah.
Hey, all of us, praise the Lord. Thank you for coming out tonight. And don't forget our Wednesday night. Don't forget our little Wednesday night meal. Then somebody come in tonight and said, I'm here for supper. On this morning, we have breakfast at Sunday school. We have lunch, that's church. And then we have supper at night. Amen. I feel sorry for these places that only have a little breakfast.
Amen.
They drive through breakfast.
Yeah.
Amen. I can't make it on that. I got a half cent.
Amen.
All right, then. God bless you tonight. Appreciate all that's come out tonight. And we're going to bow our heads for this message of prayer tonight. I'm going to ask Bill Gillard to be the one to dismiss us tonight in a word of prayer.
Amen.
Most gracious and heavenly Father, we thank you for this message.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for being amongst us.
Thank you for being in our midst.
And with us.
Lord, for
Lord, we thank you.
Isn't our
Brother Ricky.
Thank you, Lord.
It's a good teaching.
Your hand up on him.
Lord, we ask you
for the words you gave him
to be out of the way you have us to go until we the next meeting time here.
Yes.
We hope Brother Ricky can see that the church might be full on Wednesday night. Would everybody ask someone to come back? Lord, we thank you for everything.
Yes.
Give us a safe travel home and to and fro. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.